I desire your prayers this afternoon. The Lord would help us. Amen. My wife reminded me that today was the day 2 years ago that I almost lost my life. I came very close to getting killed. And so I'm very grateful today to be alive. Amen. And the Lord is surely good to us. Let's look in the book of Luke. I know it's afternoon service and it's hard to stay awake, so I'll try to be as careful and not drag things out. But there's something that's concerning me concerning the times that we're in. I'd like to talk about justice and mercy this afternoon. And I know there's things that are changing in our land, but God never changes. Let's look in 16th chapter of Luke. About the 19th verse, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. I'm sure this rich man was thinking, if I ever got out of here, I'd never come back.
Yes.
If he'd let me out for a little while, I'd make sure that I'd never come back to this place. But I believe the story goes that Lazarus in his lifetime, and how brief life can be, was denied of lots of different comforts. He never had a lot of things that amounted to very much. And he is spending eternity in paradise. The rich man and all that he accumulated, he's going to be in torment for eternity. But here's the thought that I have this afternoon. Was it fair for that man to sit outside the gate of that rich man's house? Was it fair that the rich man had much and Lazarus had little? It would have been nice if the rich man would have said, you know, fellas, this guy, he's becoming a regular customer here, and he is really making my property value go down by staying out there outside the gate, and he's really, all those dogs licking him, it doesn't look good for my property. You know, go take care of him. Had he had a little bit of compassion on him, I think maybe the Lord would have had compassion on him. But instead, it was a daily thing. There was no very little food. Maybe he said he was just trying to get a few crumbs that came from his table. It would have been wonderful had that man with all of his riches just said, instead of you sitting out there, I tell you what, we're going to make a special little place for you, and we're going to feed you real good. We're just going to take care of you. It would have been nice, but it didn't happen. Was it fair for him to lie there and suffer? Well, I want to look at a few things that I've wrote down here about justice and how it is so justice and mercy. I'm sorry, I didn't finish. Justice and mercy versus fairness. Fairness, that's what I should have said in the first. But justice and mercy and how they compare to fairness. Justice is based on the universal, unchangeable principle of God's word. Fairness, on the other hand, is based on the variable customs of a society and the changing will of the majority. They're quite opposite each other. Justice establishes guilt when God's standards are violated. And when they're violated, there's a price to pay. Whenever there is no justice hanging around, you know, things get out of order real quick, and we're finding that in our society today. You know, we've heard different ones say, all right, we're going to drain the swamp. Our president, let's drain the swamp. Well, when I think of draining something, first of all, I think of an adequate pipe that is able to handle everything coming out of the place. But it's like we're trying to drain something with a 4-inch pipe, and we've got a 20-inch need. We've got things that are so huge and out of order, you know, and it's like to drain something, there has to be an elevation. There has to be something higher before it can run out. But what we're finding is down in the low of the lows, or where there should be an elevated place, it's down in the low. And we have people that have migrated. I'm sorry to say this, but there's been so many politicians and so many people that have been influenced by the will of the people, and they're down in places they're supposed to be, high up places, but they've come down and things are so low, folks. You've got to have, we're in a major, major problem in our nation today. The morals are down so low. Things are down in such a grave state. How do you drain something when everything is pocketed and pooled down in the lowest of the low? There has to be an elevation. I think Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." When he is lifted up and he's elevated, then there can be a runoff of things. And when Christ and his ways are elevated in a nation, things can run off. But what is, it's all pocketed and pooled down a low place, and we're trying to, you know, thinking stuff will drain out. No, it's all coming in. What we need is to put a stop on things coming in down the low and elevate Jesus Christ. Amen. And then things will start working right. May the Lord help us today. Amen. I tell you, this fairness thing, I hear this. You know, with children, that's not fair. You hear them say that, didn't they? Well, that's not fair. I hear that so many. It just makes me cringe sometimes. That's not fair. Last night, I went into a home, and here's this little 14-year-old boy, and he won't pay. His mom has died. His dad is in prison, and he is just throwing a fit, and he's thinking, his grandparents are trying to take care of him, and he's throwing a fit, and things are so out of order. And, I can get started on things, and I tell you, it'd be a long time.
Keep it going.
But what is happening in our world today, things are getting so out of hand, and this little boy, that ain't fair. Then you take away my phone, and you turn off you won't let me talk to my friends, you won't let me run around over there, that ain't fair. Oh, I hear that so many times, and it's, I can't believe it. Another time I was with the deputy, and we went to this house two times in one night. And a little old a 12-year-old and a 13-year-old boy and a girl. And again, the great-grandparents were raising these children, not grandparents, great-grandparents. And they could hardly get out of a wheelchair and throwing a fit. And I tell you, this deputy, I was so encouraged by him. We start down this driveway, and Randy grabs this limb off of this tree, and he snaps this limb off, and he said, "I'm going to show them how to fix the problem in the home. We're going to fix the problem." And he's got this oak limb about this mess. Boy, Randy, that's what used to happen to us when we was growing up, but I don't know if that's going to go over. He said, he had some other words. He was, it looked like, but he lined that girl out. Listen, and that little girl was sitting there, and here's a big man with a gun. Folks, you know what's happening in our world today? We're living in this fairness deal. Everything's got to be fair. Let me go on here. Fairness tries to remove guilt by lowering God's standards. We've got down to a point sometime in our penal systems that people are saying, "Well, it's just not your fault that you did those things, that you molested that girl. It's not your fault. You see what you was brought up in, how your family was. It's not your fault." And so what we do is take the guilt off the responsible party and we spread it on a society and say it ends up being all your fault. Nobody's going to be pinned down on this one. A judge gives a young boy, because he's very athletic, 6 months for molesting a girl. 6 months because he's a good swimmer. Yeah. Our world, folks, you think about it. There's a lot of things that's out of order. When we get out of the sequence of God's pattern and His methods, when we get out of step, we lose something drastically. A friend of mine told me, this lady told him, they was at a camp meeting and they had no place available to stay but one room. And that lady said, "You put me in there and I'll sue you." You might think, where did you hear that? Well, I got that firsthand. I know that's true. "You put me in there and I'll sue you." What kind of a world, folks? Listen, we're in trouble today. We've got some problems. We've got some things. We need to wake up and see what's going on in our world and pray for this old world. It's gone crazy. And we want to change. We want to remove the guilt. And we want to reward people. You know, when we was in Russia, they told us they had this motto: "You pretend to pay us and we'll pretend to work." Yeah. No, boy, don't that sound good? "You pretend to pay us and we'll pretend to work." Listen, we've got to get back to some principles of God's Word. Here is Lazarus. He's sitting out there day by day and he's just barely making it. The dogs are coming by. And the rich man's property is being devalued. And he can probably smell the good things cooking. Oh, fresh bread today, fresh bread. They're probably going to put butter on the bread today. Oh, if I only had a little bit. And it just seems like people looking on goes, "Well, that's not fair. That's not fair." You know, we sometimes punish good people and we reward evil people. Some of our laws even punish good people. Being in a marriage situation, you get punished. You pay more taxes here than if you was just living together. People have asked me, "You've been staying out of trouble?" You don't know me very well. I'm in trouble quite a bit. I think preaching the Word of God, you can get in trouble preaching. You know that? Maybe that's why people don't want to become preachers. You get in too much trouble. Because if you say this, you're going to offend this one. You say that, you're going to touch it. Oh, you can't say that. You'll get in trouble. God help us today. Justice causes us to confess our failures and plead for mercy.
Yes.
Those two love each other. I mean, they stay pretty close.
That's right.
They stay pretty close. That's what justice will do for us. Look at, let's go in the book of Isaiah. I've read this many times and you have too. 59th chapter of Isaiah. What's it say here? Behold the Lord's hand, I'm reading verse 1, is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Iniquity and sin. Iniquity is the unseen thing. Sin is the outward expression. So the iniquity. Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you committed adultery in your heart. There's something about the iniquity, the hidden things. And you know, I believe our God wants to get down to the root causes of problems. I really believe that. He wants to get down to the root causes, the things that's down under. And until we get down under and get down to the part that, you know, you get thrown in jail and you stole a car. You get a grand theft auto and you get a felony charge on you for stealing the car. You don't ever get charged for iniquity. You don't ever get charged for coveting. And that's what really got you into trouble. You coveted that car. You wanted that Corvette. You thought you looked so good in it, and you decided to steal that. And you had covetousness in your heart, or you had pride in your heart. Those are root causes. That's the iniquity. David said, forgive me for the iniquity of my sin. And sometimes we pedal around on the top things, but it's the iniquity of my sin that really we need to be focusing on. And he said, iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your hands are defiled, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. And the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They've made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none for salvation, but it's far from us. We're in a time people are getting by with murder. They're getting by with everything. Listen, when you throw judgment out, when you throw justice and mercy and you pitch truth out the door, you don't have anything. And that's what he's saying here. He said, we're groping for the wall like the blind. We're trying to find our way around and we're just stumbling and we hardly know which way to go. And he went on to say, our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them, and transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. When there is the absence of judgment and justice, you can't have equity. It can't come in, because you don't have anything to base it on. It's like, thou shalt not kill is one thing, but an accident, you know, someone accidentally did something, and there's a penalty for this. Equity comes in and says, all right, it was an accident. You didn't mean to do that. And there's provisions made for that accident. It didn't mean to, you didn't mean to not check your brakes on your car. Your brakes failed. You run over a person, you kill them. You see, it's like the standard. It's like the wall. Everything else is all around it, but it's got to be there before equity can come in. Equity, it's a wonderful thing when you have truth, when you have righteousness working, and judgment and justice and mercy. There's a beautiful picture, but when those things start falling apart and truth is kicked out the door, you don't have much to go off of. The standards are gone. I'm going to reread this. Justice causes us to confess our failures and plead for mercy. Fairness causes us to justify our failures so that we do not think that we have done anything wrong. Isn't there a scripture in the Bible that talks about a woman that is not a good woman? She said she just wipes her mouth and said, what have I done? There's no guilt. You know, I just doing everything, and there's no guilt. We need some kind of reproof to keep us in line. We need something to be careful with, because, folks, when we start letting down on and we kick things out the door, we're just open to all kinds of things. There's all kinds of parasites that are seeking, they're opportunistic, and they're looking to latch on to anything that we give. God help us today. We need Him so much. Justice and mercy are based on personal responsibility to a holy God. Justice and mercy, they're based on personal responsibility to a holy God. They will produce a revival in a nation. I didn't say your rights. We get this wrong sometimes. We think, you got rights. Rights will bring a riot. When we have justice and mercy, and when we have a fear of God, it will bring about a personal responsibility. We feel responsible. We are responsible for our actions. There's so many times, so many people try to throw off all their, well, I done it because they made me do it. I done it just because of this. I done it because of that. And never take the responsibility. Listen, you're old enough and I'm old enough. We need to recognize I'm responsible for some of the actions. Some of my actions, I'm responsible for them. Take responsibility. Too many times, it's just swept out. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. I'm in a restaurant one time, and this lady cuts her hand on this. She's slicing tomatoes, and she shoved, and her hand went in that, and just it cut her so bad she passed out on the floor. And I remember this one girl is over there, and she they promoted her to the manager later. She's over there eating her lunch, and this girl is laying right there, almost at her feet, and she didn't miss a bite. She just kept right on eating. It's like, yeah, that'd be somebody come by and help her a minute. Yeah, she'd be all right. People are just that way. I didn't cause her to do that. Well, I didn't. It ain't my fault. Lord, awaken us today. There's so much going on. We need to be awakened and stirred. I'm concerned for our nation. I try to pray every day for our nation. I try to pray for our church, our people. We need help, folks. I don't know how to underemphasize. It's just we need the Lord's help in so many ways. Unless we recognize that our actions is a direct... We're responsible for our actions. We are responsible for what we're doing. And I had a man tell me a week ago today, he said, "I don't know why. I don't know why I done that. I don't know why." It's like, duh. Hey, you've been on drugs, man. You've been doing things bad. And you're not in here. You're not in here playing jacks. You know, what do you... You mean you don't know why you did all these things? We're responsible. We are responsible. Don't just say, "Well, it's my upbringing." That's the way. Well, you all know that's the way I was brought up. Well, all of us could come up with some excuses. We had failures here. We had this happen. We've come up in an imperfect world because my mom was saved, or my dad was saved, or, you know, neither one of them was saved, or whatever. And I'm just a product of society. We need to take some responsibilities for our actions. We need to ask God to help us today. These people that Isaiah is writing about come to the place and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. I went to school with a man from Saudi Arabia, and he was so intelligent. The man he could take math. He was a whiz. He could figure out things, I'm telling you. And he had in his head chemical formula, all that stuff. That man could remember. Common sense seemed like it eluded him. One day, we learned how to wire up a heat pump. Everything, every wire, you had to wire everything up. Okay, it was a little challenge. So he gets it wired up, throws the switch on, and 4th of July, sparks, pow! And the teacher was watching him. And he goes, he backed up and he... And had time to lay relay on it. And he said, "Shut it off." And he's hollers from clear across, "Shut it off." And he's thinking, this thing surely couldn't do that. Something else must have... Second time, boom. And the teacher, "Shut it off." He's trying to figure out why. Surely that couldn't be me that done it. I couldn't have done it. About the third time, the teacher's running across. Mr. Brannon's running across the shop and throws the breaker off. He said, "What's wrong with you? Why don't you..." And it's like, I couldn't have done anything wrong. I don't know why. And all these sparks. And it seemed like we're in our world is in a unbelief, in a daze, or something has gone wrong and haywire. I tell you where it starts. Let's look at judgment, justice, mercy, and let's look at fairness. Listen, I'll go on. I'll try to be quicker. Fairness is based on personal interest. Remember, I just read to you that we're responsible personally to a holy God, but at fairness, on the other hand, is based on personal interest and will produce rebellion within a nation. Oh, we're seeing so many things. So many things going on, folks. God help us today. Justice emphasizes personal responsibility. Fairness emphasizes personal rights. And I just told you, when you emphasize your rights, it's going to produce a riot. When you emphasize your personal responsibility, it can bring about revival in a nation, in a people, in a congregation, wherever it's at. It will do something when we recognize we are responsible for our actions, for our conduct, for our demeanor, we're responsible. It's nobody else. Justice is the expression of God's wisdom for a nation, and its application will lead to prosperity. If we look in Deuteronomy, and I'll be quick to read this, but I want to read this to us. We can't let these things go by. This is so important. Do not forget. And I'm going to read half of it. I'm going to read the blessing part of it, and you can read the curse later. But I'm telling you, for everything positive, there is a judgment against things that you do that is against God's ways. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Remember I mentioned a while ago about things being down low? He said, if you'll do these things, you're going to be set up high. And if there's anything going to drain when it's up high, it'll go downhill. It will work. And this will work when we practice this as a nation. He said, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in all thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and do them, thou shalt not go aside from any of the words that I command thee this day, to the right hand or the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And 15th starts with a but, and it tells you, everything you do against me, I'm going to do against you. I'm telling you today, folks, I do believe that God wants to bless us, but we've got to keep things in the right perspective. We have got to keep ourselves in the love of God. We have got to keep ourselves where we love God's ways and walk in his ways. I'm telling you, I don't know why people are doing some of the things they're doing. I don't understand it. I look around and say, why in the world is that all you've got out of salvation and all the teachings that have come your way and all the camp meetings and all the upbringings, and you're coming up and putting this kind of stuff and you're doing this? What in the world did you glean out of all the years that you spent around the people of God? Is that all you got? I mean, it's questioning my mind. What is happening? What is going on? You know, Lord, help us. God, God's expression of wisdom for a nation and its application will lead to prosperity. I hope you don't forget that. But listen here. Here comes fairness along. And it said, fairness is the expression of human reasoning for a nation, and its application will lead to financial ruin. Being fair. Oh, folks, listen, I don't believe in cheating people. I don't believe in doing things that are wrong, and I don't believe in preferring one person here over another and being partial to people. I don't believe in that. I believe that in everything we should treat people right and do what's upright, what is just. I don't believe in being unfair. But I'm going to tell you, I went to a little training one time, and you come in, you sign your name, and you take a number, and so everybody gets a number, and then they call your number and say, oh, you want it? And I won this little pocket. It had a pen and a little screwdriver and a little thermometer and think, that was fine. But you know, come to find out, they got to looking around. I don't know if they had this all planned. Well, everybody ended up getting one. And you know what? The people that work so hard sometimes, I didn't work hard. I mean, but I'm just saying in life what happens many times is an employer wants to do something good for a family that's poor. And they want to do them. And justice, you know, and mercy, here they're saying, have compassion. The government's saying, no, no. You give it to one person and you've got to give it to every single one. This is what fairness is all about. You can't just pick out one family that needs help. No, no, you're going to have to give it to all of them. That's what our government. Folks, there's things wrong, I'm telling you. There's things that's not set up right and it's not working. There's things in our world that's not working. Why do you keep doing the same things over and over if it's not working? Why are you trying to encourage us to go to a communistic type living? And that junk never worked. You know, you reward people. The Bible said if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, is that being fair? Oh, wait a minute here. Hold on now. You better be careful. I'm trying to be. But I'm telling you, the way our world system is working, it doesn't work. Oh, my. Justice is impartial. It is objective and non-emotional. So, you're riding along, and you're going too fast, and you get pulled over. And you're a lady and you start putting your hair up and he's, hi. And you're going 10 miles over. And you know, you all listen. Hardly before your car comes to a stop, they've run your license. They can tell about a loan that you have in the bank on that vehicle. They can pick out. And here's the law. I have one guy, he just turned that over to me. I said, look at her lip. She's been speeding all these times. It's like over and over and over and over. And now she's wanting to, you know, because I'm a female, you know, and I look cute, you know, don't give me a ticket. I beg your pardon. What did I just read to you? Did anybody listen? Justice is what? It's impartial. It doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter your sex. You're male or female. Listen, you're going 20 miles over. And honey, you've been doing it so many times. Do you want me to remind you how many times you've been doing it? So what do you do? Well, if you start giving allowance here, and you start saying, well, they got children, they're probably not, but they've been, folks, we got to have and stay with some kind of center point. The center of the Bible, It says, better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I think we got to stay close to the center, don't you?
Amen.
When you start deviating, you get off the center and say, well, I'm going to make allowances. And now, this ain't in the law, but I personally, I'm just going to start making allowances. They have children, that's one thing. If they're female, that's another thing. If they're if they're black or they're yellow or what, I'm going to make a little allowances. You'll get in such confusion. Just stay by the principle. Here's the principle. The principle is we stay here, and it's the same way living for the Lord. I'm not talking about writing tickets, and I don't want you to think I'm. It's not about writing tickets. It's staying close to the principle. And it's being justice is it's impartial. It doesn't matter you're tall or you're short or your color. That doesn't matter. Here's the real thing is we've done this and we've failed. And I sometimes think God is disappointed with us, and I don't want to displease him. I don't want to displease him. He's counting on us, folks. Church of God people. Church of God people. He's counting on us to stay close to him. Yes. Not veer off and not go sampling then doing this. No, let's stay close to him. It's objective and it's non-emotional. Justice is just that way. It's not to be trifled with. But let's look at fairness. Wouldn't it be nice to look what fairness? Yeah, fairness is partial. I mentioned to you about the judge. It's a fact. That judge let off an athlete because he was a good swimmer and committed a terrible crime. But he had some potential in 6 months and you're gone. That's enough. That's what our law system is doing today. And they all recognize it. We're groping for the wall like the blind. We're mourning sore like doves. It's like, will there ever be any judgment against this? Will there ever be? Well, when truth comes back into play, when truth comes back around, if we ever have a love for it enough, then things will start lining up and things will start beginning to balance out. Corruption in a nation, it leads to the fall. Fairness is partial. It is subjective and based on an arbitrary and emotional consideration. I'm almost there. Bear with me. On the other hand, justice results in the swift prosecution of criminals. Do you hear me? Justice results in the swift prosecution of criminals. But here comes fairness. And what does fairness do? Fairness results in the slow prosecution of criminals. And ultimately, well, there is a cool down period. There's times people commit a crime and there's a cool down period and they put off 30, 60, 90 days or whatever till people's emotions die down and things get settled down, and then hopefully they'll forget about this and what have you. And time will go on and time will erase the sharpness of it, and the atrocities will all be swept kind of under the rug. It's what's going on today. Fairness is stalling and waiting. And oh, you're going to think I'm terrible. But I'm going to tell you, justice results in the swift prosecution of criminals. Fairness is a slow prosecution. You don't have to believe me, but I'm going to tell you, when you look at things that are failing, if there's anything that's failing, you wonder, where are we at? What's going on? How come this? Stop and think a minute. Could it be that our society is slowly, now it's not even slow, it's rapidly changing? Things are going so fast. Where will we be, folks, if the foundations be destroyed? What is the righteous going to do? What are we going to? We've got to have a close connection with God, or we're going to be in trouble. Justice limits the punishment of a criminal. I want to say something. When David was caught and Nathan come by, David had committed a terrible, terrible sin. He had Uriah killed, and he was carrying that on in his mind. If you'll read in the book of Psalms, some of the places said there was something boiling within him. There was something that it just took his sleep away. There's something that caused him to, his flesh withered. He was having a terrible time carrying the guilt of killing Uriah. And the prophet Nathan come by and he told David about the little story about the lamb and the poor man and his lamb. And David knew what poorness, what it meant to be a little shepherd, take care of a lamb. And then he heard about the rich man throwing a party. And then he came over to hit the poor man's house and he got his lamb and sacrificed it. And they all ate that. David, by carrying the guilt of what he had done to Uriah, he rose up and he said, "The man that did that will surely die." And Nathan said, "David, you're the man. You've done that." What I'm saying to us today, and what this thought is that whenever we have justice around, you see, with judgment and justice, there would be no way for stealing a man's lamb that was punishable by death. But David, in carrying all the guilt that he did, he said, "The man that done it's going to die." Whenever we try to keep things balanced and we try to put things in perspective, we can distort things. But justice comes along. We might say, "Justice, terrible." No, it's not. It establishes God's view of what is essential for a nation to be successful. It doesn't go overboard. David was going way overboard in the guilt he was carrying and the punishment that he meted out for the man that done that. When you have justice around, it's going to establish the penalty for things that are done wrong. And it's going to keep things in balance and check. But what is fairness going to do? Fairness establishes man's view of what is essential for a nation to be successful. That's what fairness is going to do. It's going to try to take away the guilt. We're going to strip away the guilt, and we're going to take away responsibility. We're going to take away the God that has things established. We're going to put all that out. We're just going to kind of live and let live. We're just going to kind of get along and love everybody. And we're going to miss something. That's what's happening in our world, I tell you today. Justice allows an employer to be generous to those who are in special need, as I mentioned already a while ago. To that person who, an employer is looking, here's a family that's struggling. They're having a hard time. I'm gonna be special. Out of the goodness of our heart, we're gonna put a bonus in his paycheck next week. But you're gonna have people say, "I didn't get one. Am I not special? You better give all of us." The government's gonna say, "You will give every one of them the same. You will not have any of this impartiality." You see, there's a fine line there. God help us today to get it. Fairness legislates against an employer's generosity toward those who are in need. Woe to the nation that forgets God. That's my final comment to us today. Woe to the nation that forgets God. Without these things working, folks, we're in big trouble. I ask you to consider some of these scriptures we read today and pray for the work of God that it would prosper.